establishing boundaries for yourself, for your clients, and for the space you operate in, as well as understanding the integrity that you hold, are very important parts of working with clients. Today, I'm talking with Holly West about how we can establish those boundaries if they're not there yet, whether it's a physical, emotional, or energetic boundary, and then also ways to look at the integrity that you hold and look at the integrity that you're working towards and seeing if these things align in a place where you are capable of seeing the client today. These are all big questions that sometimes we ask ourselves, sometimes we don't. So in today's conversation, we dive deep into the establishment of boundaries, the integrity that you hold as a human being, and how we go about keeping our clients safe, keeping ourselves safe, and keeping our space safe. I hope you get something out of the conversation. We'll see you on the other side. Right, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm talking with one of my favorite humans in the world, dear friend of mine, my spiritual mentor. She's been on the show 2 times already, and we'll just keep it going. Right, we'll just keep finding cool things to talk about. Yep. So Miss Holly West is back. Holly has been on talking about how to utilize spirit animals and power animals, how to work with your guides. Holly is a medium and has been working in the healing arts for many years in different traditions. I think the main tradition that I've learned under you is a lot of the Lakota traditions.
That's correct.
The shamanic teachings from that. And I can't say enough beautiful things about you. You're the best.
Thank you.
You've been like the teacher I never knew I needed outside of my children.
Yeah.
and so today we're going to talk about something that's very, very alive in both of us right now and something we talk about quite a bit. And also seems to be kind of a theme. If you're listening, if you're a fan of the show, I recently had Midge Murphy on and we talked about ethics and energy work. And so today we're going to talk about boundaries and integrity in energy work. And before we get started, I just wanted to talk about, you know, just basically define integrity, right? And so integrity is a firm adherence to the code of moral or artistic values that you hold, right? And the reason I bring that up is because there's something that a friend of mine, Tang, taught me a while back, and it said the difference between morals and ethics. So morals are the rules that you have for yourself. Mm-hmm. Ethics are whether or not you follow them.
Love that.
You know, and I say that because a lot of us approach this work in a very different way, and it's not a regulated work right now. You know,
I do
see in the future that regulations will probably try to come down in some kind of way. How effective they'll be, who fucking knows? but so at this point in time, you're setting your morals. You are setting the morals that you feel that are right for you to share space, hold space, be in somebody else's space. And then it's up to you whether or not you follow those damn rules, right?
Well, it's up to you and it's up to your spirit. It's up to who you are working with.
Right.
I would rather not have spirit smackdown. Listen, if I'm going to have these rules that I've learned for many, many years, I utilize them because it is what's right to do. I feel like I answer to a higher power.
Yeah.
I don't want to do something that's going to harm somebody in a way that Great Spirit says to me, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Why would you want to harm?
Yeah.
Because I feel like as soon as we do that, we are no longer doing Spirit's work. We're doing our work.
Yeah.
And our work is definitely below what Great Spirit wants for us. So.
And I'll say this too, these are things we check in on regularly.
Always.
Because we can be operating within the boundaries that we've set and the ethics that we've set, and we could be fully within those boundaries, right?
Oh, yeah.
But things can still go a little sideways. And those are those opportunities for us to look at it and say, oh my gosh, was I really looking and paying attention to the client? Was I actually paying attention to my body and what I was feeling? Or was I going through the routine that I have in my head of, I need to check that box and then check this box and then do that thing. I'm going to play this bowl and then do that chime and then I'm going to do the fucking thing, right?
Well, spirit regulation tells us that we're doing their work, right? Who else do we need to regulate it? We could have the government regulate it all we want to have it. And maybe some of us need that or maybe not. I don't know. But all I know is that I am going to do what I am told through my feelings. And I'm going to trust what I've learned through my relationship with my guides, mm-hmm. with Great Spirit, and with those that are around me who know more than I do, well, perceived, and whom I have learned from.
Yeah.
Which I'm very lucky. I have beautiful, wonderful teachers. I feel very lucky with that. You're one of my teachers, Adam. Everyone. We can learn from everyone, right?
Totally. Totally. There was a, I'll share a little story of my first time that I had to take a look at my own integrity and the boundaries that I'd set up. So I'd been practicing energy work and sound work in a combination for probably about 3 years at this point. This was about a couple years ago. And I was working with a client that it was my first time working with this client, but I know this person very, very well. Like we're very close, very good friends, you know, and then this person experienced some loss in their life and wanted to explore that. And this person's one of the most tuned in people I've ever met in my life and has done everything in their power to turn those off, turn those gifts off. Understood. And so it's when those messages come through, they scream and they shake because there's been such an ignorance of it. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to help this person, you know, find some peace, and we were doing our energy session and everything was great. About 30, 45 minutes into it, body's calm, everything's good. And this person had never experienced sound before. And we talked about that going into it. And when anybody is new to sound for me or new to a modality, I'm very soft, very cautious with it.
We need to be.
Mm-hmm. And so when we talked about it ahead of time, it's like, if everything feels good and seems okay, I might break out a bowl and just see how that lands. And so everything was going on par, everything was good, you know? And so I grabbed a bowl and was sitting at basically his head on the floor. And I was just playing one single bowl. It was a heart bowl. And I was playing it, and I'm looking up. It's very common for me. I just want to make sure everybody's safe. And so I was playing for maybe like 10 seconds, and I looked up, and I started noticing his head shaking. Mm. And I'm like, okay, all right. So I backed off the bowl a little bit, and I just was monitoring it, and then it just got more intense. Okay, stop the bowl, stop everything. Got up, and he was not convulsing, but having, you know, convulsions of sorts, right? His body was shaking. And so I put my hand on his forehead and another hand on his heart. And I was like, okay, so we're just going to breathe, right? You're safe. And I started talking him down from it. You're safe. You're okay. Tears coming out. You know, I could tell it was an emotional response, right? Mm-hmm. And so got him into a calm space and basically, you know, pulled him back out from there. I was like, okay, we've reached our limit for the day. Let's come out, let's talk. And I sat with him for about another hour just to make sure he was good to go and felt grounded and felt safe. And we discussed, you know, what happened and what mm-hmm. he felt. But that was the very first time where I was like, okay, I don't know if I would say I overstepped a boundary, but I saw a boundary be pushed.
Yes.
And it was thankfully, again, from the beautiful teachers that I've had, like yourself and Lauren and Hannah, was taught to always monitor my guests, constantly. My client, right? Constant. And so that monitoring of that client allowed me to see them step across the boundary that we had set and be able to pull them back, right?
Most definitely. Not only do we stop when we see something harming a person, but we also know when to push when enough is not happening. Mm. And that comes from knowing your craft, knowing who you are, knowing what you've seen happen, but most of all, knowing what you feel inside. The boundary tells us that I'm not going to go past this because my abilities don't go past this. Mm. Or you say to them, wait a minute, you're experiencing something that I don't know what to do with at this point. It's time to pull back and let's walk you through this. Had you gone further with him or her, I'm not sure, you could have crossed a line that maybe you couldn't have come back from.
Right.
Being aware of what your gifts and talents are the number one piece of a boundary. If you don't know what they are, how can you work in them? Hmm. And how we find out what they are is we work in them. We work in them gently and right. We allow ourselves to feel these things. Yeah, you could have really hurt somebody had you not stopped and looked and said, wait a minute, this is not where this feels.
Yeah.
This should be going. There is one thing that I say, and you will know from my teachings. Being in your integrity is the number one piece to this type of modality, whatever your modality may be. And integrity to me, I will define it as having your heart, mind, body, and soul moving in the same direction. If all four of those pieces of integrity are not in alignment, you are not in alignment. Mm. You are not capable of helping that person that's in front of you if you don't know where you are in that line. Because perhaps your heart's in It's in it. I'm ready. I'm going to change this person's life. Let's go. Let's touch everything that we can possibly get into. Let's make them better. But your mind is saying, wait a minute. Whoa, this mm-hmm. person's not receiving what I'm giving. What part of me needs to allow this to pull back? Where do I pull back? If your heart, mind, body, and soul are not moving in alignment when you're working with your clients, you are out of your element. Pull back from it. Don't go. That is where we get in trouble.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's such an important thing to say, because I haven't yet met a person in this healing realm of sorts that doesn't want to do good.
Of course.
Right? They're in it because they've either had a trauma themselves, they've seen the way that they can help people, they've experienced something that in a way that makes it unique for them to approach somebody else, right? So the heart's always in the right place, but if your ego is still involved with this,
you've got it.
And you're like, I'm going to be the one that fixes you. No matter what, we're going to figure it out. You know, again, heart's in the right place, but you're now stepping outside of your own boundaries or your own integrity, because you're doing things and you're bringing in energies or modalities that you might not be fully appreciative of, even if you've experienced it before. And I see this a lot with breath work, with yoga teachers also, you know, where it's like a lot of people have experienced a breath work seminar or a breath work session and has felt the magic of it. And a lot of times what I'll hear is that ego pop in. It's like, oh, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you've experienced holotropic breath work, right? You've induced your own hyperventilation, right? You understand that that's part of the process. But what happens if something goes sideways? How do you keep that person safe? Mm-hmm. What happens if tetany happens in the body, right? What happens if the body starts to convulse? What happens if you get emotional? Like, these are all things that a properly trained person is aware of and knows what to look for and knows what to do if something does happen.
As you said, that's getting your ego out of the way. It's understanding that there are things that are greater than you. And not always having all the answers is the way that we find the answers. But we don't go headfirst into something without having integrity mm-hmm. for somebody else. Can you imagine? I do a lot of soul retrievals. Mm-hmm. And I teach them, but I will only teach them pretty far into somebody's teachings, which you and I were just getting into it. And how many years have we been doing this?
At least 5 years, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like, yes, okay, he's good. Let's go do this. Teaching of a soul retrieval, I would never attempt unless I knew what I was doing. Because what would happen if I was to do a soul retrieval with somebody and do something incorrect? Mm-hmm. What if I brought back the wrong soul piece or the wrong part to this person who needs it? And then then we put it inside of there, and I'm like, okay, go ahead and go.
Make me proud.
See ya. Huh. Peace be with you. Bye. Right? Yeah. No, it doesn't. I have a responsibility to know I want to say craft, but I don't necessarily like the word, but I love the word magic. My modality, I know it because I've taken the time to learn it. Mm-hmm. For somebody to just walk up and say, oh, breath work, I can breathe. I gotcha. Let's go do that. No, that also goes along. And I feel like I'm a little bit like scattered with this, except to say there's so much that I want to say about it, because I believe so strongly in the ethics of this type of work.
Yeah.
Ethics to me in this type of work are so much bigger than even working in a Western situation. You are working with people who are putting their trust in you because they are hurting. Ethics say that I'm not going to take that person further down the pain road. Ethics to me say I'm not going to harm somebody more than when they came to me. And I think that as practitioners, if we don't have that type of vision when we're dealing with our clients, we could harm them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes from getting out of our own way and really seeing what we can and cannot do. I stand strong in ethics with this. It is so very important to me.
Yeah.
I don't send anybody out and say, okay, go ahead, go do a soul retrieval. You're great. You're awesome. You've been to one class.
Right.
Bye. No, it is something that I feel that you learn over time, and an apprentice, how long does it take to become you know, if you're apprenticing, how long does a craft take?
Yeah. I think electricians, they apprentice for at least 4 or 5 years.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So would we just send this type of an apprenticeship out to somebody else? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Retrieve those soul parts or do that cord cutting or do this or do that without some proper ethics and training and teaching and feeling.
Yeah.
And that word integrity. We can't do anything without that word integrity.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, if your heart, mind, body, and soul are not moving in the same direction, step out of the room.
Yes. Gosh. And that's a message that you really need. Nobody can answer but you. Right. And that's where we quiet the body down. We quiet the mind down. We start to listen deeply. And the opportunity for me that pops up quite a bit now. And this is beautiful because this is completely like, I have no benefit from any of this work at all. Right. But you know, I coach a lot of people in plant medicine journeys, whether they want to, they're interested in learning more mm-hmm. about it, or they've taken the journey and they're like, okay, I want to experience this in a deeper way. And the reason I bring that up is because plant medicine is a very big buzzy kind of thing
right
now. It is
a buzzy thing.
You know,
yeah.
And when you have celebrities that start doing plant medicine journeys for their own personal reasons, not chiding them for doing it, but that popularizes it to a group of people that had probably never heard of that before, that modality, maybe have shunned it, but now that Dr. Dre's doing it, they're like, oh, I'll go sit with ayahuasca. That sounds fun. Yeah, I can make a hit album after sitting with ayahuasca for a bit, right?
Yeah.
And so that is one of those biggest things for me that shows me the ego. And the example I'll bring up is I had a client that I was working with that wanted to start macrodosing, so big doses of psilocybin.
Mm-hmm.
It has addiction stuff in the past and, you know, things to you know, some red flags that we want to be cautious of. And so I was working with this client for a number of months about just talking with them about it, feeling into it, if you're drawn to it, if you're called to it, and then you have to take your ego out of it and make sure it's actually calling and not just your ego saying, no, you should do all the things that cool people are doing, right? And so we were all on board, everything was good to go, and this person lived in a different state. And then, so I checked with them the morning of, and I said, okay, so today's your day, how are you feeling? And this person said, I woke up and I have COVID, but I think I'm fine.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, so I'm just going to speak very bluntly. That's the addict talking in you. Okay. That's the addict wanting to chase something mm-hmm. that's different that's than correct. The mental state that you're in right now.
Right.
And the other thing I will tell you is that if you experience a hallucinogenic journey and you have any fucking doubt in your mind about doing it, it is going to magnify it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
If you sit with a plant medicine like psilocybin and you have COVID, you're going to go fucking crazy because your anxiety is going to get heightened, amplified, and all these things are going to start going through your head because you don't feel real safe.
There is no safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you're in something that you can't get out of.
Yes.
Listen, I've had clients come to me who went, and I am not calling out ayahuasca ceremonies. I'm not calling out those ceremonies except to say, I think that you can reach the same spiritual enlightenment without them. That is what I teach.
Yep.
However, this particular person decided that they would go and do an ayahuasca ceremony. And unfortunately, they did it with a group that probably was not in their integrity.
Okay.
So they weren't watched close enough. When they came out of the ayahuasca ceremony, they did receive what they felt that they needed to receive. But this person kept calling me on the phone and saying, I'm seeing Pandora's box and it keeps opening for me and it keeps opening for me and I can't get it to shut and I don't know what this means and why do I keep seeing this and where is this going and what is going on and I am scared. Why is this happening? Also, I called the person in and had them come in and sit down with me one-on-one, and it took months to close that box.
Yeah.
Because if you open up something that you're not ready to open, or if you open up something that's not being monitored correctly, meaning that the person who's doing the ceremony is doing it in the correct way,
mm-hmm.
you have left your body. And if you leave your body, what comes in? Anything that wants to.
Anything that wants to, yep.
So it took us months and months and months to get this person back to the point where they could feel like the box was finally closed and they felt safe in who they were. But I am telling you that that was some of the hardest work I ever had to do.
Hmm.
Because they allowed themselves to be open in a point where there was no integrity. Their body and soul were not together. If you separate those two, you're leaving it wide open for something that doesn't need to be there.
Right.
So again, integrity in all kinds of directions with just that particular story were completely mismanaged. Mm. So that is why I say to you, and I will say it to everybody, be careful who you get your spiritual advice from.
Yes.
Make certain that the spiritual teacher that you're talking to is in their integrity and that they are still doing their work. That there's teachers are doing their work. And that everybody is receiving wonderful blessings from the work that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, it's hard to stay in boundaries. And it's hard to stay in your integrity. I find myself, we were just speaking of this, waking up and being like, oh my gosh. Am I really going to hold spirit again today? Is this really what I'm going to do today? Because I am really spiritually tired.
Yeah.
And I kind of just need to go watch Netflix and do nothing. And on those mornings, if I have a full schedule, I will not see those clients because I know that my integrity is not in place.
Right.
Now, sometimes that means, girl, you better sit down and you better start doing your prayers. You need to start rattling. You got to get in touch with what's going on. Give yourself a moment. And sometimes it means I need to go watch Netflix. But knowing that piece of who I am allows me to be open and to be ready for my clients so that I'm doing it in the right way, which is in my integrity.
Mm.
I cannot even imagine working with somebody and not completely be feeling where I should be in that moment.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought. I worry sometimes because I know there's so many beautiful, wonderful practitioners out there who, like you said, they really don't want to hurt anybody. They just want to help. And their heart is always in the right place. And they think that they're doing exactly what they should be doing. And I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go. I can make things better for you. But the reality is maybe they need a little bit more time before they do it. And that's where you as a client, or you as the person who's going to be worked on, should be asking your questions. How long have you been doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What is your training? Where do you receive this from? How do you get to this point?
Yeah.
Ask questions. You're just as much responsible for your work as that practitioner is for you.
Yeah.
What does a boundary tell you? A boundary tells me that I will not allow somebody to work on me unless I know and I feel that that is the right place for me to be. And I've checked with my guides 2 to 3 times, and I've checked with my spirit, and I've checked with my feelings, and I know this feels right.
Hmm.
That's a boundary.
Yeah.
It's trust and boundary working together.
Yeah. And I think that's an amazing point to make, too, is that as the client, you know, mm-hmm. you have your integrity that you operate within, and you have the boundaries that you've created as well. And yes. Because like what you said, you know, like I, as the practitioner myself, I'm not going to wave a magic wand and make things go away for you.
Nope.
You have to do the work as the client. I can show you the ways. I can show you some things that have worked. I can hold space. I can play the bowls. I can do all the things that I can do to help, but you still need to do that lifting. Right.
It's very
and
true.
So it's getting your integrity and your boundaries set up too,
yep.
to make sure that you can receive the work that you're setting out to receive.
Yeah. Don't come to a practitioner expecting to lay down on the table and have it taken for you.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a mutual client who I told this particular person, I said, you know, go home. This is going to happen for you. And when it didn't happen right away, this client said there was a lot of fuck yous, right? Mm-hmm. To me, to Holly. And I bring them on.
Mm-hmm.
I love those. I mean, I love that. Reality is that later this person found what they were looking for and it turned out okay. But I expect completely and totally for their journey to be challenged. If I just hand things over to you, what are you learning?
If it's 100%.
Yeah, it's not going to ever work that way. And I love it when my clients say, fuck you. Because I feel like that means that I'm hitting the right chord, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, okay, let's go further into that then. Where yep. are we going?
Yep.
And that's a whole nother thing. Get out of your way. They're not saying fuck you. They're saying fuck you to the action of what needs to be done.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, if I get hurt because somebody told me, go to hell. Boy, I've got a lot of hurt to go on. But, you know, you just keep moving through those things. But boundaries are always going to be there for us, both as a practitioner and as a client.
Yeah.
Don't walk into an office thinking you got all the answers.
Not at all. And there's a one of my favorite quotes I've shared on this show many times, and this is more for the person trying to find a practitioner that'll help them. It's if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill the Buddha.
That's right.
You know, and that basically means if you meet somebody that's like, I will fix heal you. I will take away all your anxiety. I'll take away your depression. I'm going to do all the things. Run like hell, because that person does not have your best interest in mind.
Nope. My sessions are hard.
Yeah.
I have hard sessions, and I take people places that they don't necessarily want to go. I do it with gentle kindness, but I'm firm.
Mm-hmm.
And when I take clients on, it's because I have prayed and I know that I can help that person. I won't take a client on if I feel that I cannot be there for their best interest. That's my ego talking.
Yeah.
And my ego, good heavens, it used to be really loud. It used to be really, really loud. And I've learned to place it aside, especially in this realm. This realm has no, I mean, you cannot have an ego and be a practitioner, I believe strongly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with your training, too. I mean, what is your teacher teaching you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you greater than the work?
Right.
Yeah, usually not.
No, the phrase that you've taught me that I use constantly is hollow bone conduit. Mm-hmm. So allow me to be a hollow bone conduit for the energies of the universe, right? And it's moving through me, but it's not, I'm not directing it.
It's not mine.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm an antenna. Basically, yeah. Right? And that's, yeah. What's his name? Rick Rubin talked about this. Rick Rubin's a famous music producer. Mm. He's, you know, produced everything from Run DMC to Metallica, everything in between. Like, just one of the most amazing producers, but doesn't know shit about music. Self-proclaimed. he's great. He's more like a guru, right?
Yeah.
And so Rick Rubin talks about how during the creation process, you have an antenna that's extended, right? And so when you're writing a song, it's not necessarily you writing the song, it's your antenna catching the information that you have the ability, the musical ability, the artistic ability to create the message from that, and then you can present something to the world, right? So it's not Adam writing and playing the song. I've got my antenna up and I'm catching the frequencies of the idea that crossed my path. And it's like, oh yeah, all right, I can do something with that.
There we go.
But the caveat that he says to this, and which is, I think, is beautiful, is that if you don't do anything with it, it's going to continue to move on because it needs to be said. It needs to be heard. That message has an importance to it.
Yes.
And so if you don't do anything with it, it's going to find somebody else that has the ability, and then that person will do something with it.
Correct.
So it's like, oh my God, I had that idea and that person stole my idea. Well, no, I don't think that happened. That person was actually able to do something with the idea.
Perhaps you weren't listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of the idea of Reiki? It's the power source. It's coming straight in through and out you and working with clients in that way. It's the same idea. You are a conduit for the gift that you have been given.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt. And there's boundaries with that as well,
yeah,
which we should touch on for sure, because that's very important. However, you are the conduit for the power. You are not the power.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have Spider-Man power. I'd love to.
I would love that.
Bring it on. If I could go up and down. Great. But I do have a gift and a talent that was placed inside of me. And I have learned how to use it to the best of my abilities with the help that I've been given from my guides, my animals, the beautiful people who teach me these things. If the light goes past you, maybe you weren't ready for it either. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't quite time. And that's where we get into the boundary piece.
Yeah, love that.
Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Let me tell you, that's my first lesson with everybody I take on.
Yeah.
What is your boundary? Well, I don't know. What's a boundary? Well, I don't know. Maybe you need to define that for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we begin.
So I got three different types of boundaries. Because there's different ways to look at this, because we have to have our personal boundaries.
Yes.
Like for maybe our energies, right? Our physical boundaries. So mm-hmm. the things I wrote down were energetic, emotional, and physical boundaries. And those are both for the client, the self, and the space that you operate in.
Very correct.
And I think that part gets a little squirrely sometimes, the space that you operate in with the boundaries. And I'll share, I have a friend of mine, Colleen, who's a massage therapist. She's mm-hmm. one of the most gifted body workers I've ever met in my entire life. And I remember when we started doing Reiki at the house, Monica and I, we got a massage table, set up the room. And I had Colleen come over and say, hey, just check it out because this is what you do in a different realm. But you basically work in rooms and, you know, make sure everything's where it needs to be and everything. And so she walked in and she's like, okay, I'm not saying this because I think you're going to. I just need to say it because I say this to every single body worker that I've worked with. She used to be a teacher. She's like, okay, this bed, this massage bed is only for massaging. There's no hanky panky. There's nothing that happens on this bed except for healing because you need to respect the space that you're
in. That's very correct.
And so she's like, you know, at that point in time, we were, you know, cross-utilizing bedrooms. So she's like, not saying you can't, if this is your bedroom, not saying you can't have sex in this room, but you need to purify this space, right?
Always.
Keep the space as clean as you can. So not on the table. If you do have relations, we'll call it relations. We'll go back to the baby boomers.
Yes.
If you have relations, sage the room after you're done. Cleanse the room because it's a loving experience that's happening.
It's
right?
A beautiful experience in most cases.
Exactly, right, most cases. But it was funny because it was like, oh, Colleen, that's, of course that would come from you in a beautiful, loving way. But also, thank you so much for making sure you said that. Mm-hmm. Because not to say we would have done that, but having that hard boundary set by somebody I love, respect, and adore, that's one of those things that'll never leave my mind. And I'll make sure to tell everybody else, which I have. The people that I work with, I'm like, hey, just so you know, best advice I ever got. No hanky-panky no sex in the Reiki room.
No
right?
sex in the Reiki room. Oh my goodness. Woo, bring it on. No, I mean, it's very truthful. That would be a physical boundary. What else do you think a physical boundary is?
For me, so I like to make sure that, we'll say physical boundaries in working with a client. Especially brand new clients, mm-hmm. especially if they're an opposite sex of me, because I understand I'm a man. I want to make sure that everybody is able to relax and receive in the way that they need to.
Yes.
So I talk to people very clearly about what the process is that I'm going to put them through, where the hands will go, if you have any sensations, if you have any sensitivities, if you have anything that I need to stay away from, because I can hover. I don't need to put my hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
If there needs to be a boundary, I can place my chakapa over your midsection and then put my hands on that, right? So I'm not directly touching your body. So we've been through so much trauma as humans that we can't understand. Just because you have a boundary doesn't mean I should question it.
That's correct.
Don't you know how respected I am in this community? I would never do something like that. Okay, but we got to earn that trust. And so if I need a baby step to earn your trust so that you can feel relaxed enough to receive the work that you're doing, tell me what I got to do.
Yeah, bring it on.
I'll put socks in my hands if that makes sense, right?
Listen, before I begin with any client, there's always the talk that I have. The talk says, this is your time with spirit. You get to make the choices because you have discernment. You get to decide how you want this to go. We can touch, we can do whatever you would like to do, but whatever you choose, it will be honored, both through me and through spirit. Because some of the work that I do, most all of the work that I do, there's ancestors present.
Right.
Not everybody is comfortable with that feeling. So just even in that physical piece as well, knowing that even those that are not seen have a boundary.
Mm. Wow, love that.
It is not just me that has a physical boundary. It is the ancestors that you are working with that have a physical boundary.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, I mean, how do you go forward with this when it's constantly and you're seeing things all the time? Aren't you just tired? And I say, yeah, it is. And that's why at 8 o'clock every night I shut down. People can contact me all they want after 8 o'clock. They will not get a response.
Yeah.
8 o'clock comes. My spiritual spidey sense, whatever you want to call it, it shuts down. It gets muted because that is something that I need with my ancestors. That is something that I have to have for my physical well-being in order to continue as a spiritual practitioner. If I don't have that time where I can go cry or I can go spend time with my family or I can do whatever it is that I need to do without feeling everybody else's emotions or feelings, which I will allow during certain hours of the day,
right.
Then I would not be a good spiritual practitioner.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother thing. As spiritual practitioners, we think we have to give everything, right?
Yeah.
If we're not giving everything, then we are not doing our work. If we are not constantly in the spiritual realm, oh my gosh, people are going to stop wanting to come see me. If we are not constantly at one with spirit, then we're doing something wrong. Reality is we're human. Mm-hmm. We have human emotions. We have human bodies that need certain human things. We are able to have physical boundaries with spirits.
Yeah.
So are the people that are on your table. So are the people that I'm speaking to one-on-one. Everybody is allowed that boundary. Again, being a practitioner and knowing when to push and knowing when to pull is also very important with those boundaries.
Yeah.
We've had a couple experiences where you have not wanted to give up information. And there has been some pushing, but I knew when to stop and I knew when to go.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to the spirits that were around you and the spirits that were around me. Mm-hmm. And through that, I believe we had revelations and we were able to work through things. But if they had said to me, stop, or you had said to me, stop, we probably would have, well, I don't know if you would have said it, yeah. I might have still gone.
But might have still gone.
But if the ancestors around us had said stop, I would have stopped.
Yeah. And to your point with that, because we've had some beautiful exchanges.
Definitely.
And you've pushed me into certain places that I didn't think I was ready to go to. But I can say, as you know, on the back end, I always felt held. I always felt respected.
Definitely.
I didn't feel like you were like poking the bear at all, you know?
Thank you.
I'll got an example from there. And this is, again, people with the best of interest, mm-hmm. they're doing the best they can. But this is the stuff to really look out for. And the example that I have right now is a teacher training that a friend of mine was a part of, yoga teacher training. Mm-hmm. And yoga teacher trainings, this was a 200 hours. So I think it was about 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks, something like that. And so you're in these groups, you're opening up, you're cracking yourself open. You're doing a lot of self-exploration as well as learning how to teach yoga. Mm-hmm. And the style that this person was learning was Baptiste, right? So it was a Baron Baptiste is a yogi.
Yeah.
He's gotten in some trouble recently about sexual misconducts and things like that. But mm-hmm. that's not what I'm talking about this time. I do have an episode about that.
Ooh.
Picking up about 2 years ago. But so my friend was in this Baptiste style training, not trained by Baptiste, but it was the Baptiste training. And part of the training was, okay, you're going to stand up surrounded by all the people in the teacher training, which I think was about 30 people. And you stand in the center of that circle and you reveal your most intimate secret, right? The deepest secret that you got, that you're holding on to. And people have, and I've seen this happen before. People have beautiful revelations. Oh, I've, was abused as a child. I was adopted. I was, whatever it is, whatever you're holding on to, right? Mm-hmm. And so my friend got up there, it was their turn, and they, said their deepest, darkest secrets that they were holding on to, and I wasn't there, but this was, afterwards this person was telling me this, and said, as she was saying the things, she started breaking down and crying. She said it felt good to release, The caveat was,
but
the teacher trainer said, you're not trying hard enough. You didn't go deep enough. What are you hiding? Go deeper. So basically, challenging them, but not reading the person, just mm-hmm. going off of a script that they've had, right?
Yeah.
And so my friend basically was just taken off guard because what they shared was very horrifying and took a lot for that person to share. At that point in time in our relationship with my friend, I hadn't even known that about this person. Mm. We've known each other for a long time. So I'm learning this as she's explaining this situation to me and then explaining how she basically got bombarded and harassed, saying she didn't go deep enough and blah, blah, blah. She broke down, wasn't able to finish the exercise, excused herself, came home, and then was like, I don't want to go back to this, and was barely halfway through the training. And I've seen that so many times with workshops, with retreats that I've been on or that I've been a part of where the intention was good. But then something went sideways and the person wasn't well equipped enough to hold the space for the person that went into their shit. And then it just got worse and it got worse. Yes. And then basically the person felt blamed for not being able to compose themselves in the place that they weren't ready to go in the first place.
Yes.
And then once they made it there, they weren't supported.
You know, even as things can come up that are very difficult for people, the right time will always present itself to deal with that emotion and that work. I mean, in that particular case, that person really just needs to be held.
Yeah.
Knowing as a practitioner what your client's boundary truly is how you become a practitioner who has her integrity or his integrity in alignment. This work is not for us, Adam. This is nothing to do with us. The person that was hurting because somebody's ego was in the way.
Right.
Because they thought that they knew better. This is a human experience as well. And if we don't treat humans as humans and we don't love them in the way that people deserve to be loved, again, this work will chew you up and it will spit you out.
Yeah.
I believe that strongly. I have seen so many practitioners fall to the wayside because they decide that their work is greater than the actual work of spirit. And if you get in your way, it will happen every time.
Yeah.
Every single time, my heart aches for that, for your friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very sorry for
that. Ended up coming out on the other side. And, very you good. Know, when I look back at that, this was way before my journey started with energy work. But when I look back at that, that is one of those integral stories that I look at that keeps me in check and keeps me abreast of what I know. And so what I'll say to that is actually, so I have people come to me constantly that ask for things that I don't offer. Mm-hmm. And what I do now is I start to flag those things, right? And so let's say tapping, right? So say somebody's like, you know, I have like 5 or 6 clients that come to me over the next month that are like, hey, do you do tapping? Is that something you practice? It's like, no, I don't, right? No, that's not something I've looked at. That's not something I practice. But if I constantly have a stream of clients asking me for modality, that to me means like, hey, maybe that's something you should look at to add to your practice. Because if these people are looking at you for this, you might have something within you that can make them feel safe to hold that space.
Or it may be spirit calling out to you and saying it's time for you to open up this part of who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that leads me to say, okay, who's the practitioner I can look at?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the person I can talk to either get certified, show me how to do it, whatever that is, whatever the comfort level is. And I don't always think certifications are the way to go, but if you have like a mentor like yourself, like that can show me how to do something, and then we have our schedule, we work together, we get to a point to where I feel safe and you feel safe, right?
Yes.
All the boundaries have been set and the boundaries have been met, right? We were good to go, we feel good, and then we find out what those next steps are.
Correct.
Right? But it's not like, oh, you know what? I can tap on people. I'm gonna go watch a YouTube video real quick and it's under the eyebrow or under the eye. Okay, cool. Right in the heart. Okay, I got that. Okay, the weight of a nickel. Okay, I got that. You know, but do you really?
Yeah.
But do you really?
Yeah. Right? Again, boundaries. Boundaries are set to protect you and your client.
Yeah.
They're not. Again, I'm gonna go back to the soul retrieval.
Yeah.
We don't go out and we don't do things that are not something that we're proficient in when we're in somebody else's life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, regular having these things, I guess, looked at by the government and put all kinds of regulations and on and on and on and on, however we want to talk about it. And you're right, it may be coming to that. But what I can say to you is that your integrity should be greater than any regulation that anybody can put on any one thing.
Yeah.
And if we work our businesses that way or our communications with other people in that way, we don't need the other things. I believe strongly that if we work in the boundary that says, A, am I ready for this? B, have I truly been shown the things that I need to see? And C, what am I really doing this for? Which that should actually be A. Why am I really doing this? Is this for my glory or is this for somebody else?
Right.
There's a lot of self-check when it comes to boundary work. There's a lot of self-check when it comes to integrity in your work. And the pain with that is if you haven't done your work and you aren't able to get out of the way, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Because it's not the right time. I will tell you, I went through years of practice. I went through years of training. I went through years of very difficult conversations. I have been to the bottom. I have been to the top. I have been all over this practice that I have. And I know for a fact that I've already done the work, and I'm still doing the work. I'm never at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I have taken myself to a place where I'm asking other people to go. And if I haven't, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah.
Because if I haven't experienced it, then I don't know how it feels for them.
Right.
Or if I can't see it through the eyes of an ancestor or through the eyes of the person that I'm working on, I can't ask them to go there.
Right.
That's out of my integrity. Keep doing your work. Be the practitioner that does the work. Don't be the practitioner that says, oh, I can do that. Come on in. And you ruin somebody's life. And then they're sitting in front of a person such as myself saying, oh, my great spirit, what happened?
Right. Yep. I did all the things I thought were right.
Why did this not happen?
All of a sudden, here we go.
And again, I don't believe that people do it because their heart is wrong or because their heart's not in it for a specific reason. But I just believe that this is the type of work that you have to check yourself constantly. This is not just a yearly check.
Hmm.
This is a daily check. This is a waking up in the morning and saying, where am I today?
Yeah.
How do I feel today? Can I truly give this piece of myself in the right way?
Hmm.
If not, my boundary says, no, I can't. I need to take a break.
Yeah. So I mentioned my stance on certifications just
yes.
a moment ago.
Yeah, you did mention that.
And I go back and forth on certifications. And yeah. I definitely think you should get the training that you need.
I agree.
I think certificates are a little wonky. But I had somebody actually on recently that talked about the difference between a certificate and being certified. And I love the way that they put this.
Ooh.
So a certificate is like, okay, I spent, let's say, a weekend learning tapping. And we'll go back to tapping, right? So I had a Friday, Saturday, Sunday session with a practitioner that knows what they're doing. And I sat through their 10 hours of a practicum, and I got a certificate that said, hey, Adam completed 10 hours of, you know, tapping. Certificate.
Yeah.
Certification is when you have constant contact with that trainer and that person works with you on a regular basis.
Yes.
And you can ask that person questions. They can check your work. They can be somebody you practice on. There's a hand-holding. There's a teaching that goes with that, right?
Correct.
And so that is a certification because you are working constantly with that person. You have them that you can reference back to. It's not just I did my 10 hours, go out and make me proud.
Mm.
And I love that because, you know, there's their certificate is what I have an issue with because I'll speak for myself. So I've been doing sound healing now for about 5 years and I've gotten great responses from it. You know,
beautiful responses.
Thank you so much. And I love what I do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told I'm really good at it. Right.
You are.
So I love it. And so people have asked me, hey, why don't you start a school, right? Train people on how to do this stuff, right? Why don't you train somebody on how to do the sound healing? And for me, I don't know if that's like, who am I? Who am I to say, you've been certified by Adam Real. Go out there and deliver those sound baths to the best of your ability. I'm nobody to me, right? Now, granted, yes, I've been doing this for a little bit of time and maybe that's something I step into down the road.
Yes.
But I'm happy to sit with people, and I do this all the time. You've got bowls, you've got things, you want to learn how to use them, please come over to me, bring all your stuff, we'll play together, I'll show you some things. But I'm not putting my stamp of approval on you, I'm not giving your certificate to walk away from and be like, hey, 10 hours with Adam, I'm good to go now, right? And so for me, like, I don't think that my name holds that much, I don't know if weight's the right word or accreditation, maybe, to give you the stamp of approval that you need to go out there and do your thing. But at the same time, I'll show you everything that I know.
Well, outside of me saying you probably could give a stamp of approval because I have experienced your sound baths. And they're beautiful, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
You've done it. Beautiful work. I can say to you that through all the years that I have trained been training people. I don't think I've handed out one certificate.
Right. We've been together for at least 5 years.
I don't think I've given you anything. Do you want one? Do you want one?
A lot of high fives, you know? A lot of spirit smackdowns, like, but no certifications.
Yeah, a lot of spirit smackdown. There has been no certification because, to be honest with you, how do you certify a feeling?
Right, right.
You don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's what spiritual integrity is. Spiritual integrity says, I don't have something on the wall that says I can help you through this, but I know that I can because I know where I've been. Hmm. And I know that I have enough integrity inside of me to know that I'm not going to do anything to harm you because I've been harmed and I understand what that feels like. That's spiritual integrity.
Yeah.
Spiritual integrity is getting out of your way and letting the real things happen that need to happen. I mean, Spirit Smackdown is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. I still get it. I mean, it is a real thing. It's something that lets me know, wait a minute, Holly, you are not doing this right.
Right.
Hold on. Check your integrity. Where are you? Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. My soul's out of the way here. It's not. I'm not in alignment. What am I doing?
Yeah.
I don't think you need to have a piece of paper that says, Adam, you're in your integrity, because it changes constantly. Really, what this work comes down to, it comes down to, yes, boundaries. Live them. Be them. Oh, my gosh. Live by them, or you're going to run into a bigger problem than you ever thought. But really what it comes down to is being true to yourself, being true to your ancestors, and true to those that are hanging out with you, your spirit guides.
Yeah.
Great spirit, creator, mother, father, God, every piece of this that is being bestowed upon us in a beautiful way. It just so happens that you can tap into it in a way that's beautifully, beautifully designed.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to, I think, regulate this kind of work because you're regulating human emotion.
Yeah. And that's the and spectrum that's of
next
human
to impossible. Yeah, it's next to impossible. But there is a way to say, okay, if you don't know how to do this, don't do this. If you haven't got the right paperwork that says, I will not do this to you, meaning I won't touch, we won't do this, we won't do that, then yeah, I mean, I think that that can have a place. But what it comes down to is, who are you and what are you doing?
Yeah.
And are you in your integrity again? Heart, mind, body, soul, moving in the same direction. All I can tell you is I say it every day over and over and over and over and over again. Everybody in my life is integrity, 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 integrity.
Yes.
There is one thing I want to bring up about boundaries, though. We kind of touched on it before, where we feel like if we're not always a spiritual being, then we must not be doing something right.
Right, yeah.
I want the people that are working in this realm to understand and to know that we have human emotions and we are allowed to feel them. Just because I'm saying integrity, be in your integrity, sometimes we're not. And sometimes that means that we need to take a step back. We need to relook at our boundaries and we need to say to ourselves, where am I becoming lax? Because it's only hurting you in that realm. I wake up, again, like you said, I wake up some mornings and I just cannot do this. And then some mornings I wake up and I'm like, bring it on.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The boundary says, listen to that. Don't just go forward because it's not good for you either. I tell a story repeatedly. I used to be woken up every single night at 3 o'clock in the morning, bed shaking, sitting straight up, screaming because there's a spirit by the side of my bed. Now when the spirit comes, they still wake me up. I will say to them, you can come back at 7 o'clock in the morning and I'll talk to you then. 7 o'clock in the morning, here they come. These gifts aren't going to go away. Have your rest. Have your boundary. Live your life as best as you possibly can so that when the work does come, you're rested. You're ready for it. Let's go. Bring it on.
Yep.
If you don't feel it, you don't feel it.
There you go. And when we, before we hit record, we talked about your spiritual journey. And I think that's a good way to kind of segue into boundaries a little bit deeper. But basically it was paraphrasing was, if your spiritual journey takes up and encompasses your entire life and doesn't leave you the ability to live your life, then you might be approaching your spiritual journey in a little bit different way, right? So you should still be a human. You should. I mean, we're humans living a human experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have the full emotional spectrum of the human experience, right?
Yeah.
We have, on top of that, some of us have different emotions on the human experience, you know, whether you're which I love this new term I heard, is neurospicy.
Oh.
So if you have neurodivergent of some sort, you know, if you're ADHD, if you have an autism of some sort, you know, anything like that, then you're going to have a different approach to those emotions as well.
Most definitely.
So it's taking the time to really understand like where you're at with all this stuff and what boundaries you really need to set for yourself, for your relationship with spirit, like you just talked about,
yep,
and your relationship with your clients that you're working with.
Yes.
And your boundaries, I mean, it took me a while to understand that I needed to set up stronger boundaries between the energy that was being released,
mm-hmm,
and making sure that it didn't get stuck to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those things that the experience taught me that I needed that. The conversations that I've had with people like yourself and other beautiful workers taught me that boundaries are important, and, you know, to have boundaries with your clients and have boundaries with the work that you do. But the boundaries of the stickiness that happens when you release things kind of caught me off guard. And it's like, about, you know, 6 months of this work, I'm like,
woo,
dragging ass. Like, how is this work harder than the restaurant work I was doing? I was working 18 hour days and shit, you know, but it basically was like, I'm not staging myself properly. I didn't call in my guides. I need an extra layer of protection when I hold public sound baths, because I have anywhere from, you know, 30 to 60 people at these sound baths.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, my guides are strong and they're doing great, but I could also call in some of the deities that I work with and say, hey, Chumbanudurga and Baba Hanuman, mm-hmm, and Mama Gayatri, come and help me also, right?
Yes.
Set up the perimeter, right? And it's so funny because, like, I think one of the first conversations we had, you introduced me to one of my spirit animals, the white tiger.
Oh gosh.
and you basically said that this tiger keeps anything from coming at me, and you have to go through the tiger first before you get to me. And that vision has never left my mind about, you know, being surrounded by all these beautiful guides, but at the center of it, this big white tiger that's like, state your business or get fucked.
You shall not pass. Yeah. Yep.
And so, like, I love that. And so, but visualizing that has really helped me embrace the idea of that boundary that's been set up.
Most definitely.
That protection that's been set up.
Most definitely. And these protections are there for everybody.
Yeah.
You only need call on them. You spoke before of maybe ancestors and spirits and everything getting tired of Adam calling, right?
Yeah.
I'm here to say I have yet to see that. In my entire spiritual life, I have yet to see an ancestor be like, oh, God damn it, Adam, calling again. Yeah. And what the hell? And five more times this week. Now what? No. The exact opposite comes forward. The one that says, how come he hasn't called?
Yeah.
Or why isn't he letting me know that he needs me? Because I'm here.
Yeah.
I can also promise you that sometimes they need to be asked.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll just show up regardless, but you got to ask.
Yeah. And I could say after I've been working with my guides for a number of years now.
Yes.
That first time when I felt them come forth, it was so exciting for me because and not only for me, I've been like, oh my gosh, I feel things around me, but I could sense the excitement of my guys being like, he finally said hi.
Oh my God.
He finally reached out to us.
Whoa.
You know? And to the point, the funny story that you just shared. So we just, Holly and I were at a spiritual training of sorts.
Oh my gosh. Amazing.
A couple weekends ago and in Sacramento. And I've talked to Holly about this before, but and it kind of goes in and out, but I shared it again. It was a point of frustration, but basically it was like, I call on my guide so much that I think they're like, oh, this fucking guy again, right? Oh, Adam needs help driving to Ellensburg. Oh, Adam needs help to make sure that he doesn't buy the wrong fucking toilet paper at QFC, you know, whatever it is, you know, but that's such a humanistic view. Right. Mm. And you had this beautiful way of saying it, you know, like, so with that view, you're wrapped up in the concept of time in a human aspect, right?
That's right.
Linear time from past to present. Whereas, you know, in the indigenous practices that I've looked at, which I really love this, is that, you know, they look at time as a circle and everything's happening at the same time.
Never.
And we can just start to
That's
pull
right.
in. and say, okay, I want that time. And okay, we're going to pull that out and pull this out. And so when I'm thinking like, you know, again, in my head, it's like, oh, my spirit guides are sitting there like watching TV and they're like, oh God, here he goes again. Fucking protection this and spells that. Oh, okay, pause that. Luckily we have Netflix now. We can pause live TV. Let's go take care of Adam real quick.
Oh, Adam.
And it's the total opposite. It's like, oh, hey, Adam needs something. Like, let's go,
oh my God.
Let's go help him out, you know?
He said it. Where to go? Let's go. Come on. Everybody on. Game on.
Exactly.
No, it's the exact opposite. To them, time is nothing. It is nothing. And really, we're thinking small when we think time.
Yeah.
Right? That's small thought. Big thought says, I'm here. Call me.
Mm.
Let me help you. That is what my existence is now.
Yeah.
That is why I'm here. My God, if your ancestors are like, where's he been? Where's he been as they're tapping their watch?
Right.
Why not? Why not now? Why not me? Call me. Call me. Call me. You know what? When we, again, get bigger than the practice, and we get bigger than what the emotion is and where we truly are in the practice, meaning we need to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we start to lose. That's when we start to fall back. That's when we stop and say, all right, wait a minute. What part of my integrity is out of line? Where are my boundaries being crossed?
Mm-hmm.
What am I allowing to take more of my time? And if it's human time that I need, what am I utilizing it for? That is a call to action, Adam.
Mm.
That is a call to where am I? Because I'll tell you what, they'll be there for you.
Yeah.
That's what their existence is for. And if you don't think they're excited and happy, every time you call, they're like, oh my God, it's like a mother who hasn't heard from their college daughter for 6 months, and here it comes. They're going to drop everything to talk to you. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Exact same idea.
That's good perspective, because that's basically my daughter and myself.
Yeah,
it's like,
you
got wait, she
called. It's mine too. Everybody, wait a minute. Whoa. I have a special ringtone when she calls. That means I drop everything, right? So it's the same idea. They get the ringtone. Adam's calling. Everybody in. Everybody in. Just make sure that you call. It's what they want.
Yeah.
And you know, again, if you're not utilizing the things that you have cultivated, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
Because you have cultivated it. And I can only speak towards you and I, but I know the work that you have done to cultivate this.
Mm.
This is a real thing that is happening for you, because you've done the work. And you know what you need in this realm.
Yeah.
It's a matter of being afraid to ask.
Yeah, it really is.
It is.
It's like, like I said, who am I? Why do I deserve? Right?
Because you're Adam.
But I think the thing is like, it's I'm not special. I'm not special. We all have this ability.
Well, we all have the ability, and it does exist for all of us.
Yeah.
I believe that strongly. I do believe some people come equipped a little bit stronger, but I also believe that everybody can tap into that part of who they are.
Right.
Without the use of different types of stimuli,
medicines of sort,
I believe everybody can tap into it. But I also believe that some of us come a little bit more equipped, and I believe that maybe those are the ones that it's tapping a little bit louder.
Yes. And to that point too, I've been seeing that example a lot more with our newer generation of humans. Whether it's, you know, talking to a toddler that is putting together thought concepts and ideas that took me until my teens and 20s to figure out, the empathy, the altruism, the awareness, and also do you think I'm going to fucking work my entire life away just to barely survive? Get fucked. This is dumb.
Right.
The inhibition to like deal with this life that's here. And it's like, no, I don't get it either. Good for you for saying something about it.
Listen, I believe that they have to come stronger. They have to be more equipped.
Yeah.
These beautiful spirits that are coming forward now are going to be some of the strongest ones that are out there, because they have to be.
Yeah.
In so many ways, we've become so very corrupt, and in so many ways, we've become beautifully seen, and things are changing for the good. But I believe that it is truthful. We have got to teach our young. They need to know and understand the gifts that are inside of them and start them young.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to wait for this thing because, oh my gosh, it might scare them if we talk about a ghost. Well, so what? They're already seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them about it. Help them understand it. This young generation that's coming forward is probably some of the strongest, and they need to be, because of what's happening in this wonderfully beautiful world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I want to talk about boundaries that a practitioner should have with their clients.
Yes, most definitely.
And there's two real big ones that pop up right off the top of my head. And one of them is, and I first noticed this, well, actually, I think I should say I first noticed this when I was working in restaurants, just being a person of authority, right? A manager, mm-hmm. right? So I was a GM, director of operations, right? But also, I think I felt it stronger when I got into the yoga community and started teaching yoga. Mm-hmm. And that's the aggrandization of your teacher.
Yep.
The person that holds the perceived power, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this person's figured it out, or this person can do something for me, or oh my God, this, you know, and it's like, no. I'm human Adam, just like you're human Holly, just like you're human Beth, right?
Yeah.
We're all just humans exploring the gifts that we have, right? Sometimes that gift allows you to be more public. Sometimes that gift allows you to be more private, whatever it is. But just because I'm the one up here in the yoga experience, like teaching you how to listen to your body in a deeper way, controlling the heat so you have a good experience, that doesn't make me, maybe that makes me a good yoga teacher, but that doesn't make me a better human than anybody else.
Correct.
Right. And yeah. So I think there's that responsibility of the practitioner to humanize themselves.
Well, it's a godlike thing.
Right? Yeah.
And again, as I've said, if you as a practitioner becomes bigger than the work, then what are you feeding into?
Right.
The work is not me. I do the work. I get to live the work.
Mm-hmm.
So really the authority piece, I think not only does that come from, well, really it just comes from the practitioner. It comes from the actual person. Again, heart, mind, body, soul. What is out of alignment if you've got the God complex? Now, here's the key. Being a young kid, I don't know if you ever remember having a crush on a teacher and, oh my God, that teacher is the greatest thing ever. The fact is that probably will happen because you are attracting something to people that they are yearning for in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for knowledge, or they're looking for the authority to tell them what to do to get better.
Right.
The reality is that when somebody comes forward for you and they have got this authority attraction to the teacher, give it back to them. Say, oh my gosh, I think that's amazing that you think I did a great job, but tell me, what do you think you can do?
Right.
The way that a teacher teaches is by giving it back to the student.
Mm.
Ask the student what in their life needs to change to make this even maybe they want to become a yoga teacher, whatever it may be. What is it that you need to do to get here? Always stay humble in your gift, Adam. If you stay humble in your gift and you stay in your integrity, the authority piece goes away.
Mm.
I don't need to be the authority. I just need to be the one that's guiding you towards your own answer.
Yeah. There you go. I think that's exactly it, guiding mm-hmm. you towards your own answer. There's a boss that I had back in my early management days named Jeff Morgan. He's a beautiful human being, still very close to him. It's great when your mentor becomes your friend and then like you both
even
just co-learn,
better, right?
You know?
Yeah.
And he taught me something at a really young age in my management career. And it's I guess known as the Socratic approach to conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I love about Socrates is as smart as that human being was, he also was self-proclaimed the most ignorant person in the world, right? And the way he got away with that proclamation is that he never gave answers. He just asked really good questions.
Mm-hmm.
And through the asking of questions, the person that's being asked the questions has the ability now to find the answer on their own,
inside.
Which satisfies our ego in a very deep way.
Got it.
It's like, I figured it out. I got the thing. And our ego's like hands high, cheering, confetti flying and shit. Even though it was the line of questioning that got that person to the point.
Very much
so. But to Socrates' credit, he wasn't like, yeah, that's right. Ask good fucking questions. That's what I do. He's just like, no, that's you. You're a human, right? Yep. We just need to be led there sometimes so that our ego can say, got it. And then that's what seats that information, because we feel like we've done it and not that it was given to us.
I'm going to go a step further and say, not only was he a good question answer, but he was a good listener.
Mm. Yes.
Because the listening is the piece that takes us to the answer. And we might not always have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that in the spirit realm, if great spirit, ancestors, or power animals, guides, whatever, if they want you to have the answer, and if you're listening with the gift that you have, you'll find it.
Yeah.
But it is still the obligation of the person that's asking the question to work within the answer.
Yeah.
You can only show them the path.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the same thing. The authority piece, you can only show them the path. We are not an authority in this. There is... The only authority that I look at is Great Spirit.
Right.
Allow me to be the hollow bone you would have me be. I'm just here to help.
Yep.
Again, get out of the way.
Mm, yes.
Get out of the way.
Now, the other boundary I want to talk about is, and this one is close to me, and it can be very sensitive, but when you're working with a client that is talking about physical harm or suicide, and whether they're sitting across from you in an active session or they're emailing, texting, or calling you whatever time that emotion arises.
Yes.
And I struggle with this one because, we just want to help, right? I just want to be there and
You've
help.
You've got the heart to help, you know? Yeah.
And it's really hard, and I've experienced this a couple times now, and it's really hard for me to be, you know, past my cutoff time. Let's say mine's 10, right?
Yeah.
Not to 8 yet, Holly.
You'll get there.
But let's say 10 o'clock, you know, and my phone's on silent, but I grab my phone and just check my messages, and there's a message saying, hey, I'm not in a good place. I'm thinking about physically harming myself. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to you, you know? And it's like, well, shit, what do I do right now, right?
Yeah.
And... You know, because you have a relationship with that person because they're your client. You have their best well-being in mind, that you want to be there for them. But are you physically able to at that point in time? And if you're not, and you offer help and it goes the wrong way, are you adding to the plight that person's experiencing? Or can we, and to me, and this is something I've got to get past myself, is I felt really cold saying, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. Here's the 988 suicide hotline. Please contact them. They have better help that they can give you. And that was a route that I took. And even though, like, we've talked about this after the fact, and I've found my peace with it, at the time I was like, fuck, man. Like,
where do I go with this?
Adam, why aren't you showing up, right? Where's your strength to deal with this and to give advice or hold space or whatever it is? But at the same time, it's like, man, my tank is tapped. Like I'm beyond E. Yeah. I'm running on fumes and I got no gas station in sight. You know, so what can I give right now that's actually going to be helpful besides my ego saying, no, you need to answer this.
This is a big one.
Yeah.
And you know what? It does come up quite a bit in this type of work. We are dealing with people who are harmed and who only want good things in their lives, and sometimes they can't find it.
Yeah.
I myself have had a similar situation, and it just so happens to be something that I answered after 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
And a lot of what happened through the conversation was, I love you. I understand what you're going through. I don't know how to help you. Here are some phone numbers of people that can.
Hmm.
I am clear with you that I love you and I am here for you. But again, I can only do so much. It is a very difficult place to be when you are dealing with people's emotions and you're dealing with their life's processes. In this case, let's face it, we're not certified to help.
Right.
We're not.
Yeah, period. Not a suicide preventionist.
We are not, and I don't want to pretend like I am, because I'm not.
Yeah.
I am somebody who loves and somebody who gives my heart and who is very open and wants to help people. But I'm also not equipped to handle the things that these people need the most. And I will do what I can within my power. However, remembering that the boundary that I've set is the one that says, Holly, you are only equipped to do so much. You cannot do any more. And God forbid the worst happens. We have to know and understand that we tried to do the very best that we could with what we had. And that's where our boundaries have to work. We have to work in those things that tell us, you can only do so much. Yeah. This is what you're gifted with. This is what you are not gifted with. And I pray that I never or you never feel the sting of that situation. And I pray that people who are feeling this in their lives can and will find the help that they need. And maybe sometimes what they need is to just hear, I love you. But again, for you as a practitioner, if we answer every one of those calls 24 hours a day, what is left for us?
Exactly.
And where are we, and I don't want to sound like somebody who's selfish or who doesn't care, but where will we be at the end of that phone call? You have to protect who you are as a human. You have to protect your own psyche as a human. If that's something that you feel that you need to get trained in, then find the correct training.
Right.
But if it is not, then know and understand that you have a list of who these people can call. Mm-hmm. And you do what you can in the moment that you have. And it's not easy.
No, it's not.
It's not easy to hang up the phone and think, am I going to speak to this person again? Or can I call somebody to help this person? I've done what I could. Mm-hmm. We never want to leave somebody in a pain state. We don't want to leave them in a place where they don't feel any hope. And maybe just what they needed was to hear, I love you.
Yeah.
So we do the best that we can do with what we are given, knowing and understanding, again, that our training only goes so far. That is where the code of ethics comes in. That is where ethics says to us, I am not equipped to help this person stop what this person wants to do.
Right.
I can only tell this person that I care for them and that I love them, and please call this phone number.
Yeah. And that can be the most important thing that person's heard. You know, I think, you know, for me, when I first encountered that situation, it was like I just felt so helpless.
It is a very helpless feeling. Oh, it's very powerless. Yes. That, in fact, the person that I'm speaking of with the Pandora's box, not only was I able to help the person with the side that I could, but before I began with this person, they had some people on board that could help them that were trained in something specific. Hmm. So we worked in tandem. I knew that there were pieces of that person's life that I could not do anything for. My ego got out of the way instead of saying, oh, I can do all of this because I'm spirit, bring it on. No, I knew for a fact that there was only so much that I could do.
Yeah.
And I needed help. So you call forth the help. You do what it is that you know you need to do, but you also need to remember that you are a human in this experience, and that is your boundary.
Yeah.
If we get too far involved in something, we lose ourselves. And really, you know what it is? I'm going to tell you this over and over again. It's something that I use on a daily basis. When that oxygen mask falls, what do they say to do?
Put it on first. Put yours on first.
Yep. How can you help anybody else if you are so down and so deep into the mire that you can't get yourself back up?
Yeah. An indigenous character, I guess, maybe, called the Sin Eater.
Mm, yes.
And so the Sin Eater was also an X-Files episode in the late 90s.
Which I remember that very well.
Great episode. Yeah. I mentioned this because if we think that we're going to be the person to solve all the problems, this is where the sideways comes in. And so the idea of the Sin Eater is, so in the indigenous cultures, it's a shaman. Mm-hmm. That is able to remove the hurt, the injury, the disease, the whatever it is plaguing the human, and is able to remove that. But the way the person, the shaman does it is it takes on the sin, quote unquote, itself, and integrates it into their body. And so in the X-Files episode where there's a physical depiction of this human being, just ulcers and sores and tumors and all, you know, like missing teeth and just like all these physical, you know, blemishes and all the stuff that's going on, because the person is taking away all the sicknesses, but is embodying those sicknesses, isn't finding a way to dispel those. Right.
Yep.
And so, you know, in my practice that, that you've helped me with, you know, I've worked with a phoenix that is able to, to take, you know, the things that I pull out of the clients that I work with or the things that I've released and help burn them away.
Yep.
So I don't sit with them and they don't become part of me.
Very much.
And so, and I say that because this is where those boundaries need to be there. Because if you think, again, like I can solve all the problems, I'm going to take away all the pain and the suffering from all the people, where does it go? It's going to go into you.
And it stays,
right? And that's where that disease comes from and all those plights. So we got to figure out, you know, we got to be really strong in those moments to know what we're capable of and what we need to start to release. But I think those, like sometimes those precarious situations we find ourselves in, and then we handle them and the integrity and the boundaries that we've set up to that point can deepen our boundaries and show how important that integrity really is.
And really sometimes just showing that action forward is a lot of what your client needs, right?
Yeah.
You know, as far as shamans are concerned, yes, there are ways that they can take those things on, but I can promise you that in most cases, they have also learned how to release them. Hmm. In some cases, there have been some that held on to it and they did get ill before their time, and we did lose them before their time.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that it is very important to always hold a boundary around somebody else's energy. You cannot help anybody else if you are so far down that you cannot get back up. I will say it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The boundary says that in order for us to do the most work in the most productive and beautiful way that we can possibly do is to know ourselves. And to understand, why am I doing this? What is my reason? Who am I going to help? And why do I want to do this? What is my calling? Every piece of who we are, we can place into our magic and into our beauty and into our practices. But we can only do it if we have the boundary that allows us to continue to do it. Otherwise, we're at a loss for our families, we're at a loss for our pets, we're at a loss for everybody that matters in our human existence.
Yeah.
We don't want that, because then we've lost ourselves to spirit and we've lost ourselves to the work. We're not able to move forward in a beautiful way if we do that.
Yeah.
And how many more lives can we touch if we do this in the right way? And how many more people can we help through their pain if we do this in the right way?
Yeah.
We have to be very good at knowing when to stop, and we have to be very good at knowing when it's hurting, and we have to be very good at knowing when it's helping.
Yes. And you mentioned self, right?
Yes.
Knowing the self. And that was something that was big for me in the weekend. We just came back. And actually, I'll just say this. It's been big for me for a couple of years now. And I actually did an episode with Camo about knowledge of self not too long ago.
Very important.
But one of the things that came from the last weekend that we did is, you know, knowledge of self, the acronym is KOS, right? And so if you break it down, it's chaos, right? And through your figuring through the chaos of yourself is the true knowledge of self.
Most definitely.
Right? Because we got to quell the chaoticness that's going on. Mm-hmm. But to do that, you have to understand what's chaotic in the first place. And through the chaos and the understanding of that creates the knowledge of self. And through the knowledge of self, we learn how to utilize the quote unquote chaos as a benefit, as a tool, instead of something that makes confusion and just all this erratic energy within us.
So much confusion. So much. And really, if you stop and think about it, if you add to it the dark side of energy work and the light side of energy work, where do you think the dark side wants you to go?
Right.
It wants you to go right to chaos, because if you go to chaos, you're going to start doubting everything that you're doing. If you're doubting everything that you're doing, then you're not able to help anybody else with their chaos.
Yeah.
Impeccable with your boundaries. Impeccable with your integrity. Impeccable. If you can be that, you can be the practitioner that is able to help people. If you start to get out of that, chaos will always take over. It wants to.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like, woo, warm blanket, bring it on. No, uh-uh. We want to keep it at bay and we want to help it so that it helps us. Now, chaos does have, it's got its place.
Totally. Yeah. Most
chaos definitely. Is the one that says, oh my God, I need to go see Adam because this is really hurting and I don't know how to get through it. So yeah, chaos can, it can help in a way. We just can't let it take over.
Yes. Allow chaos to be the catalyst.
Yes. Not, thank you.
Don't let chaos take over.
No. Gosh.
Love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Holly, thank you so much. I just cherish your wisdom and cherish your knowledge. And thank you for allowing us to kind of approach this seemingly sensitive topic. You know,
it is sensitive.
Your integrity, your boundaries for yourself, for the clients, for client to practitioner, practitioner to client, you know, the work that you're doing, the space that you're doing it in.
Yeah.
Like, these are all things that, you know, use the heart that you have that got you to the place to know that this is the work you need to do.
Oh, I love that.
And then let the humanness make sure that you stay safe in doing what you're doing.
I feel very honored that I'm allowed to teach this, and I feel very honored to be a part of this teaching for people. I feel very blessed by Spirit that I am able to move this work forward, because there's a lot of beautiful lives that need this and that can work in boundaries and work in integrity, and a lot of them have never really felt it. And I can appreciate and I thanks, Great Spirit, for the opportunity that I have to teach and move forward with this. Yeah, it's my life's work. I love it.
Well, you do a great job, Maddie. And I'm honored to have you brought into my path and mine into yours. And
thank you.
We can all work together and just create this beautiful little...
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So,
yeah,
no, thank I you love for all it. That you do. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Adam.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much for spending time with Holly and I. Check out the show notes for ways to learn more about Holly. You can book a session with her or just dive deeper into her offerings, as well as ways to support the show. Obeisance and love. We'll see you next time.